Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Right, we wanted to talk about the impact on social media. So we all felt this the other day on Tuesday when WhatsApp went down. Horror of horrors. We all first, we thought it was us, then we thought it was our network, then we thought it was our data, it was our phone, we switched it on, we switched it off, we panicked a little bit, we sent test messages to everybody that we knew, some went through, some didn't go through, and basically we completely fell apart. Or maybe that was just me. Daniel Den Hollander is a clinical psychologist. Good morning to you. We really have become very dependent on this whole social media thing, haven't we?
Good morning. And yes, we most definitely have become. I remember my poor secretary having to rush around and use different platforms just to make sure that all clients were coming in on time at my private practice.
Right, exactly. I mean, I was just thinking about a time when, for example, people would travel and they would land in a country and eventually they might make their way to a hotel and they'd phone home to say, you know, I'm here, all is good, we'll chat, whatever. Now, the minute you land, your phone is on, you're sending landed, and if we become so dependent on instant information. Is that good or is that bad?
I think that it's never going to be a simple answer, right? I think it's a bit of both. I think what is quite amazing about technology is the fact that we've become quite independent with our technology. Technology can often become quite a self-empowering tool. To give you a bit of a simple example, automated diaries means that you know what's going to happen in the next 3 hours, even though there might be cancellations and new things booked. The way that we can disseminate information around decisions that needs to be made can be done in a split second, and we can have it's changed the way in which the global world looks to us. I mean, we get frustrated if we're having a communication line with somebody on the other side of the world and it becomes a bit glitchy, but what an incredible achievement. I was at a conference last week, and we had somebody from Canada zooming in for part of that conversation. I mean, that would have been impossible maybe even 5 or 10 years ago. But the downside is that we have human scaffolds, meaning that when we have such a technology, we then become dependent and frustrated on it. We have expectations of ourselves that we want to do more, we want to fit more things in the day, and it really can impact our ability to function, but also our ability to keep balances in place. It's not for nothing then that things like, for example, burnout and increase in mental illnesses will come as well, because with any technology comes new challenges.
And I was thinking about that as well in terms of travel. Is we used to be able to even switch off completely on a plane. Now planes are offering Wi-Fi. So I was driving to a meeting yesterday and I got some messages, work messages, and I thought to myself, do I need to quickly pull over to answer those? And I thought, this is absurd. It can wait 10 minutes until I get to my meeting and then I can answer it. But that's the level of maybe it's my own expectation, but that does seem to be the level that we're functioning at, that you literally can't drive from one point to another point without feeling you're out of contact because you can't look down and type a message. It's surely it can't be good for us. You know, that time must be healthy to just be in your own head and think through things, listen to music, and just disconnect for a little bit, surely.
No, absolutely. What we've noticed, and especially, you know, with the technology just became normalized, which was the case with the lockdown, because, before lockdown, people were still sort of anti things like Zoom and so forth. Now it's become part of life. It's not for nothing that during that same period, from a mental health perspective, if I can say this, this is that mental health has never been more prominent and more busy as it's been over the last few years.
Right.
And a lot of it, I can say this on ground level, has got to do with people wanting to make changes within their lives, needing assertiveness and boundaries. A lot of people fed up with expectations that come from places like work. This a lot of unethical practices that people are just getting fed up with, expectations of being constantly available. I mean, that used to primarily just be for people like doctors who needed to be 24/7 available. Now, it seems as if that expectation is on everybody, but people are also, I would just say, pushing back. And it feels as if that those boundaries are becoming a necessity of life to rebalance this difficulty of boundaries and of not having enough time for yourself and rebalancing.
So I just, it's interesting because I keep wondering if we are in as bad a mental place as we say we are. And the reason that I ask the question is, and I know that I see it. I see it in the workplace. I see people are stressed. People are claiming to be suffering from burnout. But I also wonder sometimes if we don't know the difference between burnout and just needing a good night rest or needing a weekend. You know, I think we talk in hyperbole, and we often love these phrases that resonate, but it might resonate at 6 o'clock in the evening when I'm feeling very tired, but tomorrow morning I won't feel that. And some of my concern is that we're bending the piece of paper the other way in order to straighten it. So I don't think it's bad, but are we over indulging ourselves with this whole mental and emotional well-being thing to the point that we have no resilience or we lose our resilience along the way? It's a very loaded question, and I get that.
I think it depends also on where we're asking this question. If we were, for example, in some European countries, I would say yes. In South Africa, I wouldn't so quickly say yes,
right,
because I think still here, the key word is we're still very much in an empowerment phase.
Right.
But one of the interesting things is that it depends on who you're working hard for. Let me give a phrase. So I now primarily work for myself.
Right.
And I do work hard, but I get the rewards for working hard. And I can decide where and how I want to work hard. And that gives me immediately a sense of satisfaction for hard work. But when you're working for a boss and the boss is unethical or makes you work not at your own, that there's no benefit for you, but it's a benefit for the company, then you're putting a lot of energy in, but there's not much reward. And that would, I mean, the reward becomes a minuscule thing, you know, like a bonus that counts for what, about 2% of your actual earning, which is, I mean, you make more money waiting tables. And when that comes in, that's more the sense of burnout. So what we talk about burnout is not necessarily about working too hard. It's about working hard without getting any form of empowerment from the work that you're doing. You're empowering somebody else, not yourself.
Right.
And I think that's an important part of that conversation to have, because then if we're talking about that, then it's actually not about time lost, but empowerment. Because remember, if I have to work 2 hours after work for my work, those 2 hours are coming out of something else. I'm losing something else giving it to work. And that becomes a cynicalness, and it's that cynicalness that becomes unhealthy for mental health.
That's interesting, because in other words, you need to feel you're building something. So that brings it back to meaning, doesn't it? Because if I find meaning in my work and I feel like I'm contributing to something special or magical, then I don't mind that I don't mind the extra 2 hours. Actually, even if I'm getting tired and it feels like I'm stretching myself a little bit, it's for something. It is for a good purpose, and we need purpose. Without that, we also seem to flounder.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and in that sense as well, it's that thing of, on the one hand, this technology that we've got can either be a tool for empowerment. You know, you can literally do a side hustle on your phone.
Yes.
But on the other side, it can also become a noose around your neck, because now there's more expectations of productivity and efficiency, and this will just carry on until it becomes insane. And that's about managing expectation, managing workloads, learning to push back, and learning your own worth in the spaces that you're at. which is not an easy thing to do, especially in within our South African context and with our South African history.
And then, of course, going back then to the conversation that we started with, which is our dependency on instant communication, that then says as well, you know what, I'm allowed to be disconnected on my drive during dinner when I'm spending time with my family or friends, and in fact, it's good for me, and I'm worth it. So it's being able to establish that you don't need to be connected all the time, and nothing is going to fall apart if you're not.
Absolutely. And I think also, I mean, it's quite interesting at this point in time, balance and connection have become sort of the central places in which a lot of the research is coming into. But connection, I mean, let's talk about that for a second. This is that there's different levels of connection. So connection with nature, you know, remembering that we're still part of this earth, you know, that from dust we come and as dust we return. We're natural from the top down, and it does something to us. There's definitely a recharging with being part of nature. Also the energy of creativity, to do something creative, and creativity comes often with turning technology off. Self-reflection away from everything else, self-knowledge, self-understanding. These things require time, but it also require disconnection, and you're absolutely right.
And confidence.
Yes, absolutely.
I think more than anything, that is the one of the factors that are missing. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Daniel Den Hollander, clinical psychologist, talking to us about our dependency on social media.